Brother Thomas, it's Sunday night, so you have freedom. Preach on.
Thank you. Praise God. In Africa, when we say praise God, everybody say hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Good. That's how it goes. Because that's the only thing we do in heaven. Nothing else. Praising God, hallelujah. The Bible says, cast our crown down, worshiping Him, hallelujah, hallelujah. Amen. This evening, by the grace of God, I want to share with you something I've shared in my church about the cry for the hour. Because as we're coming from where we went to eat, and I saw a lot of people, and Tammy was saying that some of them are homeless, living by the river. And my heart just ached. Because in a country like this, that have so much wealth, ought not to have homeless people. But sometimes, it's a choice that people make. So I'm going to talk to us today about something that I feel that the church need to remember again. From the book of Isaiah chapter 6. I will take it from verse 1 because it was an encounter that Isaiah had. Encounter with God. And out of that encounter, a few things came up. One was that he had the voice of God. He saw the glory of God. He saw the power of God. From verse 1, it says, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting on the throne, high and lifted up, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Above it stood the seraphim, each one had 6 wings. With twin he covered his face, with two he covered his feet, and with two he flew. And one cried to another and said, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God, the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the posts of the door were shaken by the voice of him who cried out, and the house was filled with smoke. So I said, woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Then one of the seraphim flew to me, having his hand a live coal, which he had taken with the tongues from the altar. And he touched my mouth with it and said, behold, this has touched your lips, and your iniquities is taken away, and your sin is purged. Also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send, and who will go for us? Father, thank you for this evening. I pray, Lord, that you give me the voice that will wake the heart of men, that your Holy Spirit will speak and touch us and open our eyes to have an encounter with you. Thank you, Father, in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Isaiah was a prophet who prophesied at a time that Israel was under the threat of the invasion of the king of Assyria. And on that threat, in this encounter with God, Isaiah saw that the greatest threat was not just the king of Assyria, but the problem with Israel about disobedience and rebellion to God. He saw that unless they look inward and see the areas of their life that they have not actually yielded to God and yielded to God, they are going to face a problem. So Isaiah, that drove Isaiah into the presence of God when he saw the glory of God. He saw the angels of God and saw the glory of God, and he recognized. If you look at his prophecies from verse Chapter 1 up to chapter 5, it was woe and woe and woe. But chapter 6 says, woe unto me. Because he encountered God. So what I'm going to talk to us is just a question that God asked. Whom shall I send? Whom shall I send? If you look at our world today, you find that we are talking about the Lord is coming very soon. We are talking about the glory of God that is coming. We're talking about the reward that is coming. But there are many millions of, if not billions of people who have not known Jesus Christ. There are places you cannot bring out the Bible. It's a sentence of death. A place like Saudi Arabia. A place like Iran. There are places you cannot. You go to China, you can't bring the Bible and tell them you're a Christian. Why? Because they don't believe in that. But there are people that Jesus Christ died for. Some of the interiors of Africa where they worship sticks and stones and irons, you cannot tell them that they should throw it away. Because that's all they know in their life. But the call is, whom shall I send? Who will hear my voice and know that there is something out there that we need to do? The church is not actually an entertainment center. Mm-mm. The church is a hospital. A hospital where we bring those who are maimed, those who are dirty, those who are sinners, and everything about their life wrong. But when we bring them in, we treat them. Now, you see, sometimes the setup of the world rebuke us who are Christians. If somebody is sick here, and no matter what the sickness is, take the person to ER, right? Emergency ward. We all rush them there, and people are there to carry them and treat them and make sure they stay alive. They don't ask them what is the problem. They don't ask them what did you eat. They just want to make sure you are alive first before they can ask you a question. But in the church, sometimes God might wear a dress of the homeless and see how we treat them. Because they are not there. Sometimes some of them are there because the society have rejected things about them. I can tell you, I'm dealing with a lot of them because most of the girls and boys that I bring to my facility are not people who make a choice for themselves. Life are beating on them that when you come in there, you don't shout on them anyhow. I don't take it. No teacher treat them bad because they have been treated enough bad outside. But we amend them, put them together and send them out whole. The greatest testimony I have always heard from them is, when I thought all hope I've lost, I found Project Hope. And I came back to life. That's what the church is meant for. But who will go? Who will spend his time? Who will spend his energy to go and talk to them? I was so blessed seeing people come around to take clothes today. I pray that this will continue. I pray that this will expand even to food. Because that's how the church will grow. There are three things that are involved in this call. Number one, there's a people in need. Two, there are messages to deliver. Three, God is looking for messengers. I'm going to take time to look at these three areas of this call. Whom shall I send? For what? Because there are people who are in need. Who will go to the homeless? Who will go to the shelters? Who will go to the, the nursing home? Who will volunteer to go to the hospices? Those who are passing on to glory. Who will I send? To those who don't believe there is God, whom will I send? Those who work in your offices, in your companies, in the factories where you work, who will I send? I tell people, when you pray for God's light and revival to come to your village, the day you go to your village, you are the answer to your prayers. Because God has sent you there. Sometimes we enjoy the presence of God to the point where we forget why those enjoyment comes to us. We forget that the fact we were somewhere lost in sin, dead. But someone came to find us. If that person didn't come to find us, anyhow that you got saved, you will not be there. Today, the man whose life I gave my life to Christ is a pastor. He wasn't a pastor then, but he invited me to his house. And there was a tape recorder. My first time I was seeing a tape recorder in 1972. And I turned it on. I was the one who turned it on. He played a music that wasn't my stuff. And I was to put it off, but it's like my hand couldn't come down. And the song stopped, and I had these 9 words: repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. The tape stopped. I had warned him never to speak to me, never to preach to me, because he knew who I was. I was in a mess. I smoked marijuana, 4 single wrap inside one. It's like this, like a cigar. We call it family wrap. That was what I was smoking. I had a gang called Rubbish. That's the name of the gang, Rubbish. We have number, Rubbish 1, Rubbish 2. Where do you find rubbish? In garbage can. That's where you call it. That's what we take as our name. And we're proud of it to be Rubbish. Nobody could reach me, but this guy invited me to his house. And that was how I got saved. Few years ago, I was praying and I asked God, what have I done to appreciate this man, to say thank you for giving me a chance to know Christ? So I called him and I said, send me your account number. And I put him on our church roll for 1 year to send a certain amount of money to his ministry. Because if not his ministry, I would not know Christ. When he celebrated his 50th birthday last year, I was your 50th year in ministry. I was the one who spoke. Because I was the evidence of that ministry. Whom shall I send? You never know those who are outside. I was in New York ministering somewhere. I think it was in Port Jervis, New York. And there were very few people inside the church. But the whole company filled with homeless people. And this pastor was the only one playing the guitar. He was the only one playing the keyboard. It was just only himself. Everybody was sitting there watching him. I pitied him that morning. When we finished, he complained to me, look, you know, these people don't come to church. I said, no. I saw a lot of your members. He said, where? Outside. I said, I don't have members outside. I said, you do? You give them shelter, but you're not telling them about Christ. Among those people are good guitarists. Among those people are good, skilled players. Reach them for Christ. He didn't like that, but I've told him the truth. Whom shall I send? There are people here in clusters of time. Let me tell you, if you go out, if you want to prove me wrong, go out and find out. Just find 100 people, ask them, what do you think about Christ? You'll be shocked that 80% will tell you they don't know nothing about Christ. Find out, why don't you go to church? You will hear what they will tell you, why they don't know. Or you say they are rebellious. Yes, they are, because nobody have told them. That's why we hold crusades. That's why we hold revival meetings. That's why we do church. So that we can bring people to the saving knowledge of Christ. If every day you come to church is the same face you see, I think heaven will frown. Because every one of us is supposed to bring somebody to church. Leave God to do the work, but just invite someone to church. Is it too much to do? Invite someone to church. Let me tell you what a woman did. Very old woman. And I will tell you my experience of an old man. An old woman somewhere in Texas decided to do something in the estate where she lived. That every week she would bake cake and take it to a home for them to enjoy, and he spoke about Christ. Not everybody might like her, but when they see the cake and the beauty of the cake, well, come in. And they come in, enjoy the cake, and he speak to them about Christ. And this woman won every single one of them to Christ by baking cake. What will God have you do for your neighbors? The man, the woman who live next to you, do they actually know who you are as a child of God? Do they know where your destination is? Do they know what you are living for? Because you don't care to even say good morning. How can you win them? There are people out there, there are a lot of needs. Where are the young people in this country? Are they in church? No. Does that not bother you? We are losing a generation. Because nobody is telling the young ones who are vast on the internet, who are looking at everything that you can think of, any abominable things on the internet. That's what they worship. That's what they go for. Who will tell them? That's why I'm on Facebook. I'm on Facebook not to gossip, to preach the gospel. I can reach anybody. I told you the story of how I went to Philippines. Facebook. Who we reach out to the people around us? Who we talk to our young ones? Who we talk to the middle age? Who we talk to the young adults who are growing, who don't know God? You see, I was talking to a group of people and I said to them, we are going to lose a generation. If you go to Europe today, I can tell you, in the next 20 years, Europe will become a Muslim country. It may not be up to 20 years. The Prime Minister of England today is a Buddhist. The Mayor of London is a Muslim. The Mayor of Birmingham is a Muslim. Why? Because they are flooding everywhere and the church fold their hand. It won't be too long. And if we look at the world today, there are people out there that God is looking at and say, well, let me ask you a question. If Jesus visit this town, where do you think he will go first? Church? I don't think so. He won't go to church. Because he will be out there first to look at. There is nobody who will tell me, I am too old to do this. In Big River, California, I met with a man who was in his 80s at the time. And he loved to travel like I travel. And I said to him, Roy, you can't do it. It's not possible. He said, but I like to preach the gospel. I said, listen, you have this big acreage of land. You can still preach the gospel. He said, how? I said, let me tell you how. You see, River Colorado, people come from California, rich men come from California to spend weekend, start building places where people can rent. And when you build them, they will rent them. In the evening, go and hand out trust to them. He listened to me and converted his garage. He has this big garage to two apartments. Every week is occupied with people. And then he began to build and then extended the whole place, several houses. The last I checked was about 7 buildings that he has built in that area that people come and rent. And he goes around an old man preaching to them about Christ. God can use you to do something to change the destiny of this town. Because as I travel, I look at the downtrodden. I look at those who are rejected. I look at the things, the number of people. I asked you a question yesterday. What is the job? What is this community? What do they do? You told me timber, right? Are young people doing timber today? No. Which means if the generation that is doing timber passes, there's nothing to do about timber. I have a reason why I ask the question. Because there are destinies at stake. If only we know how dangerous it is to allow the devil to talk to our children. Because if we don't tell them about Christ, the devil will talk to them. And when the devil talks to them, don't complain. Because sometimes we blame the school, we blame the society. No, we blame ourselves first, because those children are given to us to mentor, to show them way that we know is the truth and the life. If we don't show them, the enemy will show them. And when he shows them, he's not going to show them what you know. He's going to show them what you don't know. And their lives will be destroyed. And God is saying, whom shall I send? I have a discipleship class. My requirement is that every day you talk to 3 people about Christ. Every day. And for 6 months before you graduate, you'll be talking to 3 people about Jesus every day. I just put in the next one and they are already replying to me. I've done my assignment, sir. I said another assignment is coming. They will read a book of the Bible every day, every week, one book. Because I want them to cover the New Testament during that class. All I'm teaching them is focus on something that is important. Because if you're not focusing on what is important, the devil will teach them what he knows. And our children are being destroyed because the people who are old, who know Christ, who experience Christ, have not transferred that knowledge to them. Let me ask you a question. I'm sorry I have to ask this because it aches my heart to see that the children, the young children of today, do not know the history of this country. They don't know the foundation of this country. Because if you know, you will be able to ask the question, why is your money carrying inscription, "In God we trust"? The old generation know why that is in money, so that you can remember. But the new generation don't know about it. Ask them about the God they are talking about is the money. That's how they worship it. But we need to tell the story of where we are coming from, of what is happening around us, so that our generation can carry the identity that we have to the near future. There are people there that God is looking at who will go for me to reach them. In the hospital, there are people who are asking if anybody can come and pray for me. But God is saying, who can go? In the prison, there are people who are locked up, their destiny that are locked up there. Somebody is saying, who will go for me? My friend in Modesto. Any town he goes to, any time of convention, this last convention, he was in the prison talking to them, about 200 people. In the prison. Everywhere he go to, he goes to the prison. Because he was a prisoner. CNN even carry his news about how his life changed. He wasn't a good boy. There's somebody reaching prison. Who shall go for me? Whom shall I send? I said in the morning, have you ever asked God why you are put on the spot? Were you the only first person who began to talk about this land? No. People must have talked about this land. But it's given to you for a reason. Opposite the place where the homeless stay. I heard you say something today. I don't know whether you heard yourself. A sanctuary will be built here to become a refuge. In my head I say, oh. City of refuge. Place of refuge. Because if it's a place of refuge, it's a place people run to find life. But you are going to be the messenger that will go and bring them. The message you have is not a message you can find in the market. It's not a message that comes from anywhere. It's a message that have happened to you. That which you have seen. That which you have heard. That which have happened to you. God is saying, go tell them. If you tell them, I will do what I says I will do. But it's like, we don't want to do it. Every day, I try to put something on Facebook. In his house, was it not 2 days ago? I just put my phone and recorded something and threw it in. Right now, it's almost about 500 that have watched it. About 70-something have liked it. And some have shared it to their friends. And it'll keep going. Why? Because I don't know who is going to touch. I may not be able to get there, but I'll do something to get them there. There is a message to deliver. The message is simple. Jesus Christ came. We sang it this evening. He came to die for us. All power and glory and honor belong to Him. Because He conquered sin. He conquered the devil. He conquered pain. He heals. He saves. He delivers. But who will take the message from the church to the people?
Amen.
You and I have been called to do that. Until we go, they will not come. I love the slogan. If we reach out to those who they don't want, when nobody wants, God will give us those who everybody wants. I want to go home and think about it. When you are reaching the lost, what I'm doing in Projecto, people think I'm crazy. They say, look, you can make money out of yourself, but God didn't tell me that. I've trained over 700 people in the place and empowered them. And all of them are doing something, empowering others. And before you know, it keeps spreading. Ask yourself, how many lives have you touched with the salvation Jesus Christ invested in your life? I don't mean to condemn you, but that's a legitimate question. How many people in your life you can say, I spoke to that person and he gave his life to Christ. I brought that person to church and he got saved. I brought that neighbor to church and he got saved. Can you ever count how many? And if you can't count, how do you think when you get to heaven you get a welcome? Because he said, I have made you a watchman to the people. Warn them. If I say a sinner must die, a sinner will die in his sin. But if you warn them, you save your life. Ezekiel chapter 3. That's what he said. The message is because the church has the authority. We are the custodians of the message that can transform this world. There is no political statement that can transform this world. There is no political agenda that can change the heart of a man. The only power that changed the heart of a man is the power of the blood of Jesus Christ. And we are the custodian. If we don't give it out, nothing will change men. Wickedness will continue to increase. Evil will continue to increase because we didn't tell them what we know. A young man was boasting somewhere and he was saying, you don't know who I am. He was raging and all that. I stepped forward and I said, I know you. You know me? Yeah. I say, he said, who am I? I said, dust. Just dust. Because when the Spirit of God or the Spirit in you step away, this body is dust. I think he listened. Because that nailed home. That he think it was something, but in the presence of God, nothing. Dust. We are the custodians of the power of the Holy Spirit. That's the way we have it. The power we have is that I will give unto you power after the Holy Ghost have come. Now listen to this. And you shall be my witnesses. In other words, if you have the Holy Spirit, you must be a witness for the kingdom of God. You must be evidence. That's what it means. You see, we tell people, you know, when you are baptized in the Holy Spirit, you speak in tongues, that's the evidence of the Holy Spirit. I beg to disagree with you. It's a sign that you have been baptized with the Holy Spirit, that the evidence is power. I speak in tongues. Well, most times that's what I use in prayers, because I pray mysteries to God. But that's not the purpose of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. He said, you shall receive what? Power. What power for? To be a witness. Power to go out and win souls. Power to go out and change lives. That's why I give the Holy Spirit. Not just for speaking in tongues. So that you and I can become people who can lay hand on the sick and the sick will recover. who can bring hope and restoration to the life of people. That's why we are here. That's why we are church. Church is a called out people. He called us out that we might become his witness. And the disciples said in John, 1 John chapter 1, that which you have seen, that which you have handled, the word of life will give to you. I tell people, if you don't believe that it's God, look at me. I can give you evidence of how God has changed my life. So there's no way you can doubt that there's no God. Because nothing would have done what happened to me if not God. But it was somebody who brought me to Christ. The man who brought me to Christ has not done half of what I have done. He has not been able to do half of what I have done. He has not been able to travel half my traveling. But he has a reward of everything that God used me to do. There's a percentage that goes to him. So anyone that you get saved, everything that person will do, there's a percentage of reward that God keeps in your account. But how will you get to heaven and you find your account empty? The Bible says some will have crown with stars, right? And some will not have. Not everybody will have the crown of stars. We will all be in heaven, but not everybody will have crown. Read your Bible very well. There's crown of rejoicing. There's a crown of life. There's a crown of service. All five different crowns. So not everybody will have it. But I won't want to sit in heaven and be admiring people's crown. I want them to admire mine and see how many stars will be on my crown. Why? Because what I do here reflects of how I live there. We will live in eternity, presence of God, but we will not be on the same level. Because if you read your Bible where there are rewards, some will shine like light. Some will sparkle with their... There's a message you have. Let me ask you a question. You see, Isaiah was able to respond, say, here am I, Lord, send me, because he had encounter with God. I am praying today that some of you have encounter with God in such a way that as you read the Bible, it becomes real to you that this is true. When you have that encounter, you can't hold back. You will give out. There's a message to give out. Hope. A sinner knows he's a sinner, and he knows he's going to hell. He doesn't need anybody to tell him he's a sinner. He knows. But what he doesn't have is, how do I come out of this? How can I come out of the place where I have messed up my life? How can I come out? That's what is important. The life of God given to you and I is what God is calling you. Go and give to somebody else so that they will see it. If people are out there who need to be rich, a message needs to be delivered, that God is looking for messengers. Messengers are people who take from someone and deliver to somebody else. Every day you read the Bible, you are taking from God. But God expects that you take it and give to somebody else. So it's important for us, this church, let me tell you what my dream is. If God, since God gave us this place, the dream is that he's going to make here a place that people will come and find hope and help. But you and I have to train ourselves. We have to be prepared. Because if God brings the flood of them and we're not prepared, we disappoint them. We have to volunteer, to be trained, to be motivated, to be strengthened. So that when they come, they can see a model to follow. They can see people to follow. They can see how to live a Christian life. Not just come to church and spend 1 hour and go and that's all for the week. I'm happy you load the week because I'm hearing the announcement that the week is loaded. That's how it should be. In Africa, Sunday is God's day. We don't have time we close. We have time we open. We close when we close. And when they close, they go back and do home fellowship in their different areas. That's on Sunday. So the whole Sunday is taken. On Monday, people do visitations. Those who didn't come to church, they go around visit them. On Wednesdays, it's a corporate prayer meeting. Everybody will be in church for a prayer meeting. It's not a selected people, and it's intense. They pray, and on Thursdays, it's like a rest, that you do your own private evangelism and all that in the evening. Friday is a corporate Bible study. Everybody is in church. So, 3 times a week, every person in the church comes to church to learn. Because when God begins to expand, in worry alone, what I do with my church is that they grow to a certain level, I move them out to a different part of the city. We have 8 different churches in one city. Move them away. They start, don't ask me anything. Go there and become a church. They keep doing, buy their property, build their house, and they start expanding. Now, the cities are beginning to break up. One of the cities in Bayelsa State have also broken up into about 3 because they are following the model. Take the church to the people. Here you have cars. You have motorcycles. You have bicycles that you use to come to church. But there, many walk on their foot. 2 miles, 3 miles to church. And they get there on time. Because they know where they are heading. Whom shall I send? And who will go for us? Let me say this to you. I'm not prophesying, but I'm going to tell you something. God is going to send some people in this church. You won't know where they come from. You may not see them again. But what you do to reach out to them when they come will determine the destiny of this church. I'm not prophesying, but I want to tell you this. God will send people. They are strange. You won't know them. They will come. They are not decent people. They are people looking for a place, a hope. How you handle them will be the destiny of the church. Because when they come, listen, I repeat it. I know when I speak like this, I know what it means. God will send a flock of people. They will come. They will be like liability. They will be like a problem. But how you handle them will determine the destiny. Because God will give you a leverage to meet people and change their life only if you are careful to reach them. If you are able to sit with them and share Christ with them. If you are able to train them and let them know why they exist. By the time they leave here, this church is open. And the power of God will move upon this church. Write down what I say. God will send you people. You may find them, you come into the church and they just come and perch somewhere and be looking. Don't drive them away. Love on them. Reach out to them. Track them. Make sure you follow them up. And by the time you do, God is watching. And that is when the door opens. You think this church is going to contain here? It's going to be great. It's going to be big. But are you ready? What is the name of this church? Can anybody tell me the name of this church? What? Harvest what? If you are harvesting, you put a lot of work in it. Right? Harvest Christian Assembly. You have to harvest to have an assembly. Alright? If you don't harvest, you don't have an assembly. In other words, God has given you, carve out what He wants you to do. It's not just a name. It's a mission. There are quality of life. There are people that God wants you to harvest. They may not be the best in the society. But God wants you to harvest them and turn them to become the best in the society. That is when you see how God moves upon a church. The message you have is a message of redemption, a message of hope and help. And the day you emphasize on it, if you ask Pastor Mark, 14 years ago, I was standing with him in front of the church in Tuela. And people were driving past and driving past. I felt like how I feel this evening. And I asked Pastor Mark, if the church closed, will anybody know the church closed? Look at me, it's like, if this church closed the door and said, we are no longer going to be a church, will anybody know that this church closed? He said to me this year when I preached there, that was what stirred me up to do what I'm doing. It's what you said to me 14 years ago. Today, if that church closes, from the mayor to the last person, we know that New Life have closed. Because from the government of that city, they send people to New Life Christian Center for help. This is Oasis in the wilderness. Did you hear what I said? What did I say? You know what Oasis is? Where there is no, where it's dry, but there's a little pond of water. A little pond of water where all the animals can come and find hope. The message you have is a message that can create that. You see, sometimes I leave myself, let God talk to me the way, or talk through me the way He wants. I'm not preaching a sermon today. I'm telling you something that will happen. Whom shall I send? Some of you have to volunteer to do some things that will be, real job. Pastor, I will head this. I will do this. Train me up to do it. Pastor, I would like to see this happen. Train me up. Encourage me. Help me to do it. And when every one of us stand up and we are in a place of service, heaven will come down and anoint it. And you will find out that everybody is doing what they know how to do, and nobody will be complaining. Everybody will be happy. When you come to this place, I see a happy bunch of people. The call is for every one of us to experience God first so that we can give God to people. And if we do, you and I, on the last day, we have a cause to dance. You know, here you don't dance. We dance in Africa. We don't have a conditioner in our church. But we dance 100 degrees and maybe 90 degrees of humidity. You sweat and your body is wet because you are dancing in the presence of God. Nobody complains. If the fan blows, it blows heat. But that's not why we came to church. We didn't come to church to be entertained. We come to church to worship the King. So you get lost in your worship that you forget about yourself. I want you to ask yourself, what can I do to move the kingdom forward? You ask yourself, what can I do to move this message forward? What can I do to expand the horizon of Harvest Christian Assembly? What can I do to increase the vision? Look at it. That's the vision. It's not just a house. Oasis. It's a place people can find hope. That's what you have put on the board there. Every day you come, look at it. What is my part in this? Because I'm a part of the puzzle. God, empower me to be what you want me to be. And you'll find out that God will begin to raise a generation that can change the situation. Young people need to be here to play drums, to play guitar, to do all kinds of things. We must reach them for the kingdom of God. But God is looking for messengers. Will you be one? Then Isaiah said, Lord, here am I. Send me. God does not force anybody into anything. It has to be something you say, God, I give myself to you. I completely hand myself over to you. Use me the way you want. My wife and I have been married for 45 years. The only time there's no one in our life we're helping is 1 month. 1 month. The only time in 45 years that we don't have somebody, either we are sponsoring or is in our house. Not because he's serving us, no, because we are trying to find a way out for them. Only 1 month. Because we have no house. That's the only month. As soon as we got a house, we brought people into my house. The day I wedded, on my wedding day, I just finished, I was still in my suit. So I didn't have a honeymoon. I was still in my suit when they told me that a young boy who was there was driven out of school, has no father. All the money given to us, it was 1978. How much was it? All the money they give to us, I said, count it. They counted it. It was enough to pay 1 year school fees for that young boy. I said, take it, go and pay school fees for the boy. We had nothing. So we couldn't afford honeymoon. But I know honeymoon is in heaven. But that young man today is a mechanical engineer that has blessed the church so much. Recently bought a car and gave to me. A Honda Pilot. When he gave it to me, I gave it to my wife. Because if my wife did not agree for us to take care of him, I don't think we will be. He has been a blessing to the church. But if I did not build the bridge, discomfort myself, remove what I would have used the money for, and use it to build a bridge for him, we will not be enjoying what we're enjoying today. I want you to look at yourself like that. You may not have so much money in the bank, but there are many people you are going to help. As they come to you, don't turn them away. Some people might come to take advantage of it. You will know. You will know those who are real. You will know those who are fake. But God will send you a horde of people. I'll repeat again. You send a horde of people. And those people, when you finish dealing with them, you yourself will be happy when they live here that God has used this place to transform them. Whether they stay or go, don't mind about it. But that has opened a door for you. And that door will be glorifying to God. I'm not going to go for that tonight. But I want you to remember what I just said to you. If that is all God brought me here to do, it's enough. That God is going to give you a responsibility that may be a little bit inconveniencing. There are people. And by the time you reach out to them and train them out, they may become the people who God is going to use to spread what is happening in this place. I pray you will not fail. Let me give you an example. I had a friend in New York in those days. The wife is like a no-nonsense person. Very neat. Everything has to be in the right place. And they were praying for God to open a chapter of their business somewhere. And here come a homeless. Whether he's a homeless, I don't know, but he dressed very tattered and came to the door. If you press their door, they will see you from outside, right? From inside. So he pressed the door and he asked, what do you want? Say, please, I need sandwich. Just give me a sandwich. The woman said, no. And he, as he shouted that no, the guy walked away. And then the husband said, who is that? He said, somebody's asking for sandwich. The husband said, give him. The compound is so big. There's no way somebody can walk away from that compound in 5 minutes. Where the house is. It's long. So, she came to the door and opened the door and found nobody. Went around everywhere in the compound, there's nobody. The But she knew somebody was at the door. It wasn't up to 2 minutes, you know, when he said no, to come out. And when they told me, I said, you just missed an opportunity. And she started praying, God, give me back this opportunity. I want to. After about 3 years, they were now in another house. They've sold the other house, moved to another house. The same thing happened. Somebody who looked very tattered was at the door. Prem. And he rang the bell. Asked the woman for sandwich. She said, no. Then the husband was, he said, what's that? So somebody else, I said, tell him to wait. And they waited. The guy said, okay, hold on. And he went to pack sandwiches and remembered 3 years ago. Pack sandwiches, pack apple, pack everything, and came out and handed it to the guy and shut the door. Almost immediately he shut the door, he opened the door. Nobody was there. Nobody was there. Bam, the door they were praying for opened. God began to bless their business. Why? Because God just wanted to test them to see whether what he gave to them, they can give to him. Pastor Shade, you have to shine your eyes. Because this is going to happen soon. These people will come. You will meet them. You will see them. They might come for food. They might come for blanket. They might come for anything. Please, be flexible enough to reach out to them. And pray with them. And treat them as humans. And leave God to do his work. Tell them about the gospel. If I will ask you, just get some packs ready with tracts and things to read inside and keep. When people like that come, hand it to them. When they take it, they enjoy it, they see what is inside. And then you find out you are ministering to people who God is sending to you. Before you know it, watch what will happen to this church. I pray every one of you will be alert spiritually when this happens. Shall we pray? This is not just like former service. I believe God brought this about to give us little direction. You see that song, All My Life, You Have Been Faithful. I like it. All my life, God has been so faithful. Even when I don't know him, he was faithful. I want you to pray and ask God, what can I do? What must I do? There's a song that we sing. What can I do, dear Lord? What can I do? Harvest is ripe throughout the world. Laborers are few. I must do the works of Jesus. Why yet is day? What must I do? Dear Lord, help me to know your will. Heavenly Father, thank you for this evening. Thank you for your faithfulness. I believe you brought this evening to prepare this church for a harvest. I ask, O God, that Lord, you open their ears and open their heart that they will know you, Father, and follow you. That every part of this time, O God, our Father, we have had, will become prophetic in their life, Father. To know that you have created an oasis in this place. A place of refuge where people can come and have hope and have help. Oh God, I ask you that you prepare everyone to be part of this movement. To your glory and to your honor. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
So where do you go from that? Church, we're being called out. I don't know if any of the rest of you recognize it or not, but let me just clear one thing up for you right now. I haven't told him what to preach. All I've ever said is you preach whatever God puts on your heart. However, I do find it extremely interesting that the things that he's been sharing are the very things that I've been sharing for the last number of weeks and months. That we have, as a people, as a church, have got to get ready. He's never going to bring the harvest until we have a barn. You understand what I'm saying? The barn isn't the end of it. In order to have the barn, in order to have the harvest, we've got to have laborers. Listen, I grew up on a farm, on a ranch. And when it's harvest time, nothing else matters except harvest. Because you've got a certain window in which to get the harvest from the field to the barn. As we look around the society and the world that we live in right now, we recognize, we can see that harvest is not only upon us, but the number one thing that we fear in a harvest is rain. Because if rain gets on the harvest, it will mildew and it will mold and it will rot the harvest. So you've got to get the harvest in the barn as quick as you can. Time is running out. There's storm clouds on the horizon. Time is getting short. And I really feel like in my spirit tonight, I really feel that we've got to begin to examine our priorities. Because we put everything ahead of God as a society, as a church, oftentimes. Well, Pastor, I'm not going to make it to church this Sunday because of this and that and the other. I can't make it to Wednesday night because of What would you tell Jesus if Jesus said, "I want you to be there on Wednesday"? I'm too tired. Come unto me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. I really feel like God is going to be knocking on your door. We are living in exciting times if we'll just see the times for what they are. There's a generation of young people that we're missing. We've got to be able to reach some way, somehow. How we love one another and those that are out there will determine, just like what you said, what this church becomes. I said it sometime last week. I don't remember if it was Wednesday or Sunday night or when it was, but if we are bickering amongst ourselves with one another, if we don't stop that in its tracks, it will take root, and it will be a root of bitterness, and it will begin to cause damage, and it will destroy what God wants to do. Listen, I'm telling you that we've got to love one another. We're not always going to make one another happy, but we've got to love one another. We've got to begin to look over. So the Bible says that love covers a multitude of sin. We've got to begin to overlook some people's faults. Hello. We've got to keep our eyes on Jesus and recognize that He's the one that we're going to stand before one day. He's the one that's going to be handing out the crowns and the rewards. What are you going to get? Boy Scouts and Girl Scouts, they do all these kinds of projects to get badges. And what are you doing for the kingdom? What are we doing for the kingdom? Father, I got nothing else to say. All I know, Lord, is that there's coming a day. There's coming a day, Lord, when we are going to stand and give an account for our life. Lord, today is the day that You have given us to live. You've given us a voice. You've given us an area of influence. You've given us a city. Lord, may we make the most of what You have given us. May we utilize our time in such a fashion as to glorify God. May we be careful of the encounters that we have. May we not treat someone that might look ragged and worn out one way and someone that looks well kept and enriched a different way. The ground's level at the foot of the cross. And Lord, may we reach this world with Your message. God, I'm grateful for Brother Thomas, for the way that he has spoken not only into my life, but into the life of our church, to encourage us to be all that You would have us to be, to do all that You would have us to do, that one day we would stand before You, O God, and hear, "Well done, enter in." Father, I pray that You would begin right now, as He said, to begin to ask, "What can I do to serve the kingdom of God? What can I do personally to reach my city for the glory of God?" As I look around, I see Canyonville represented, and Riddle represented, and Winston represented, and other outlying communities represented. How can You reach those areas for the gospel of Jesus Christ? Father, I thank You for this day. I thank You for the time that we've had with Brother Thomas. I pray Your protection over him as he travels. I pray on Wednesday as he goes to minister in Sutherland at the Father's house, I pray, God, that the same fire and passion that he spoke in this church will come out of him in that church. God, that a people will be challenged with the gospel of Jesus Christ, with the importance of the message that You have given us. Father, we'll be careful to give you all the praise and the glory and the honor in Jesus' name. Everybody said amen and amen. God bless you. Thanks for being here tonight. These altars are open if you want to come and